It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
What is up? I'm John Hansen. Welcome to another edition of Hansen's Hints here at FantasyPoints.com. Recording this puppy on Monday, April 8th. I've been working on projections here the last couple of weeks. Once I get free agency information, the first wave, second wave, third wave of free agency is already in the rear view. Usually the weeks leading up to the draft, I try to go in and do projections, build them from scratch. I'll get into that in a moment. For the teams that I think, or the situations at least, the positions that won't likely be affected dramatically by the NFL draft, which is certainly a little bit of a hit or miss proposition, but I've been doing this for a while and I do build the projections from scratch. So once the NFL draft takes place, it would take me couple of weeks probably to do them all. So I get a good head start, go in there and tweak after the draft when things happen that are maybe a little unanticipated. So I don't project everyone for every team. I do go in, like I said, and do the players that I feel like I won't have to change dramatically after the NFL draft. So before we get into some of the early observations that I have after doing the first run of projections, let's get into a little bit of the process in terms of what I'm looking at and what I'm doing. These are, I'd say, pretty baseline in terms of the data I'm using, although, you know, pretty advanced. The first thing I do, and I usually do these by team, certainly alphabetically, you go in there, certainly usually start with the A's, but first thing I do for running backs is what we're doing here in this podcast/video is I go over to the Fantasy Points data suite and I look at the team data. For example, Miami, actually they're a great example because they crushed it. I toggle on to Miami and see where they ranked in all the, you know, key numbers here, like, attempts, they were a little low there in terms of attempts, only 15th in the NFL, but they were sixth in rushing yards. For example, they were first in yards per carry. So we're getting an idea about the Miami Dolphin running game last year, although they're probably due for some regression. First in touchdown rate, they were third in explosive run rate. They were first in explosive yards. So they did get a lot of their yards from explosive plays. They actually were seventh in rushing attempts inside the five. Everything. Touchdown rate, they were first in the NFL. Stuff percentage, they were, you know, top third. Missed tackles forced per attempt, they were second. So this gives me a pretty good understanding of how great or not great a running game was. Yards after contact per attempt, Miami last year, number one. Yards before contact, number one. So the Miami Dolphins absolutely crushed it. So that gives me certainly a feel. And then I go in and I look at the individual players in terms of all these data points. And certainly, you know, when I do that, now I go in and do some very basic work in terms of, okay, we're talking Miami. How many rushing attempts do I expect the Dolphins to have? How many did it have last year? How many did it have on a per game basis and all that? And do I think that number will be higher or lower? And then I come up with a best guess estimate, you know, based on reality, of course, in the recent past. And then I go through and certainly look at carry percentage in the backfield, target percentage and things like that. Devon Achane got X number of carries per game. Do I expect that number to go up or down? Of course, I need to project the number of games. So we're looking at all that. Knowing all the other, you know, intricate data points, yards per initial contact, yards after contact, all that good stuff. Yards before contact will be a little indicative of the offensive line, of course. Yards after contact is a little bit more indicative of the player's ability to break tackles and good stuff like that. But I get a handle on all of it. And then it's, you know, simply you know, looking at information like, you know, carry total here. I'll give you Devon Achane here. So Devon Achane last year, obviously we got to bake in some injury problems there. 103 carries in 11 games. This year, I am projecting 150 carries. Got to project some time missed after last year in 14 games. So, you know, it is a little bit of a guess, but that's what I came up with. So it's a little bit more of a workload, but not a ton here. By the way, Devon Achane, in my notes here, I take notes for a lot of these. Boy, really good stuff, but maybe also hard to duplicate and replicate here. There it is over here. I added the, here we go. Not to go off on a tangent here at the top of the podcast, we haven't even gotten into everything, but last year, Achane, let's see here. Number one in yards per carry, sixth in yards per game. He had the eighth most carries inside the five, which surprised me just a little bit. Mostert did have a higher percentage and things like that. But I'm going in here and looking at guys like even Raheem Mostert, you know, like when you go in and look under the hood, you do learn some things. I'll give you another example here. Mostert got 58% of his career touchdowns last year. So that, what was that, 18? You know, my man is due for some regression. But, you know, I go in there with an understanding of obviously all the teams and, of course, the improvements that they've made or the losses that they've had on their O-line and at the other, all the positions, of course, and, you know, come up with a, you know, a best guesstimate. And what happens typically is as we get deeper and deeper into the offseason, the draft occurs, we, you know, really home in on data. We get more information, more importantly, coming out of the OTAs and the July or not July, the June mini camps, the last ones, you do get a little bit more information. So you tweak there. And then of course you wait until training camp comes and then we're in full tweakage mode because we do get information about player roles and new systems and schemes like that. And we do need to adjust. Right now we are basically formulating best guesses as a baseline. So let's also, before we get into this year, take a quick look back at last year because the running back position, I was thinking about it in terms of like how accurate is it for me. I'd say it's probably the least accurate, unfortunately, because of, well, the obvious wear and tear that these guys take. And more than ever, we're getting into backfield committees where it's pretty difficult to predict like who's going to be on the field, who's going to get the touches and the snaps. I kind of thought about it. I'd rank tight end one as my most accurate predicting and projecting in my 30-year career, by the way. This is year 30 for yours truly. Can't believe that. I started when I was four. No. Wide receiver, quarterback, it's close. I mean, pretty good for both. I'm going to give them a tie for second, and then unfortunately running back comes in last when you're talking about the top skill positions. But it was, I thought it was a pretty good year of just individual analysis and picks and things like that. Certainly, I missed a ton of things, but I'll give you some of the review guys just so you know. I was very into Breece Hall. He crushed. He was the RB2. Rashad White was my number one target. He was like RB, what, 24, 25? I just bit my tongue back there. Hopefully nobody noticed that. And he crushed. He was RB5. Let's see what else. I liked Jahmyr Gibbs, but I liked David Montgomery better. But hey, both guys did well. I actually went back and I looked at Jahmyr Gibbs very, very close to what he actually got. But I do have another example of that. Oh, here it is. I had Jahmyr Gibbs with 233 fantasy points. He got 243. So, I mean, that's pretty close. I did like Dave Montgomery. I was very into actually Brian Robinson. If you read my draft plan article, I drafted him over and over and over again. Why? Because he was so cheap and he did come through. I mean, technically, RB20 in total points, probably less than that in points per game, 21 in points per game. Montgomery was 15 in points per game. We could probably look there to better reflect how well these players did. Breece Hall was RB6. Rashad was RB10. Okay. Some of my favorites, Montgomery was RB15. I did also like James Cook. He came through, I'd say RB18. Anybody else of note here? And I'll get into some of the, I did like Najee. See, Najee is a tough one because my rankings always come from projections, which more often than not is good and healthy, because otherwise we're just randomly, you know, ranking players without really thinking it through. When you actually have to go in and, you know, project how many carries will a backfield get and what percentage of carries will this dude in the backfield get and all that, I mean, it is more, I think, legitimate, but sometimes you just, no matter what you do, you're going to hose people a little bit. I think Najee is a pretty good example of that. I can actually probably pull it up in terms of what he got versus what I had him with, but it was probably relatively close, but it wasn't like Najee was a good pick or anything like that. Let's be honest here. Although in, again, points per game, RB23 wasn't that bad. Of course, if you looked probably from like week five on, I'm sure it was a lot better. The other better example of the difficulties with ranking players in general and doing it with projections was Kenneth Walker. Now, I have taken an L on Walker, basically, you know, in terms of, you know, my ranking of him compared to the markets. I think it's fair to take an L, but it's actually kind of unfair when you look at, I kind of got the projection exactly right. Not exactly, but I had him with 210 carries. He had 219. I had 945 yards rushing. He had 905. I had 5.5 touchdowns. This is where I screwed up. He did end up getting 8. I had him with 28 catches. He had 29. I had him with 210 yards receiving. He had 259. And I had him with 1 receiving touchdown, and he had 1. I mean, it kind of sounds like I got it exactly right, but I didn't, because his ADP was RB15. We only had him at RB27. It was a difficult ranking because you had to bake in a time miss, which he did miss 2 games, and I think that's what I predicted. And, of course, you had to bake in Zach Charbonnet, who certainly wasn't a factor for much of the year, but then you look at the season that was, and you see that he had 108 carries and 33 grabs. Well, he was, in fact, a factor, especially in the passing game. So I was below the markets. Now, I had him at RB27, and he was 22 in points per game. So that's not that far off. And actually, I had him with 181 fantasy points, and he got 199. So there would be a pretty good example of, did a good job with the projection, basically. Pretty close. I mean, touchdowns can be a little fluky. I should have given him a little bit more love. But see, with that, what I was baking into the equation was Zach Charbonnet being a little bit more of a decisive downhill runner. I feel like they drafted Zach Charbonnet because, well, Walker gets hurt, and also he's a bouncer. So may not be the greatest short yardage guy. So I pulled back a little bit. So yeah, there's a look at one guy that, you know, I feel like that's a good job, but not really. So this is a little difficult, no doubt about it. And this also is difficult to look at for a couple of reasons. Number one, it is early, obviously, but we're looking for, you know, content. We're looking to kill time basically before the NFL draft. And certainly I think it's productive because I am running through, you know, a hardcore look at these projections. But also, I think I lost my other point. It certainly is a good the other point was the early ADP that I have, that's the best that we have, is from our friends at Underdog Fantasy. You should play there. And FFPC, by the way, those are the two best, basically, and our partners. And I don't really deal with half point PPR. But for this exercise, what I did was I actually just stripped out the PPR element. To see where my projections lined up with the ADP, to offer up some commentary, early values. You can do some good things drafting before the NFL draft in terms of some values. That's what we try to do this time of the year. So without any further ado, I will, in fact, now get into some of the, you know, early and interesting discrepancies from my first run rankings based on the projections and the early ADP from Underdog Fantasy. I will say again, I am avoiding a couple of backfields, several, because it's just, an exercise in futility. So that does kind of mess up with some rankings that, you know, could be like way off. Like this guy's RB 27 ADP wise, and I've got him at 39. Those gaps will be closed likely, but I'll give you quickly a few teams that I just did not feel comfortable doing because I don't want to waste time. There are some examples where I think there's some pretty big questions about the backfield, but I think the top guy is good, like James Cook in Buffalo. We'll see what they do in the draft. But a good example would be Carolina. I have no idea what they're going to do. They don't have a ton of picks. We could be good to go with Chuba Hubbard again battling Miles Sanders essentially for touches, or maybe they surprise and take a back of note. So I didn't bother going and doing that. I actually didn't do the Bengals yet. Zach Moss is a guy who's kind of hanging in the balance right now. I'm not optimistic, by the way, about Moss in this new system here. I think last year he benefited from that blocking up front in that offense, and I think it's going to be a little tougher sledding for him, as we've seen with Joe Mixon over the years. So we'll see what they do in the draft. I didn't bother with Cleveland, even though I probably could have. I just don't know about, you know, certainly Nick Chubb right now. They did add Deontay Foreman, so I would think they're probably good and not going to do anything in the draft. So I'll probably end up doing that, but I don't have it in hand right now. I did not do the Cowboys. Sorry, Rico Dowdle fans. I didn't feel the need to go in there just yet, especially when it's probably going to be Trey Benson and Zeke Elliott, or Zeke Elliott and Blake Corum, or something like that. A rookie plus Zeke Elliott. I also did not do, well, a couple of free agents I'm certainly not doing. I certainly didn't do any of the rookies. Let's see. What else did I pass on? The Chargers was kind of a tough call there. I think we should feel pretty good about Gus Edwards having a pretty good role, but I'm like, you know, I don't want to waste time. You know, if they draft Blake Corum, let's say in the second, third round, then the Gus projection needs to be blown up. So I didn't bother with it. And then that might be it in terms of notable teams that I didn't bother going into doing it. Yeah, I think that's about it. So we should get a pretty decent look here. I think the top 30 or so are pretty fairly static right now. I don't know how many big time changes we'll get after the draft. Maybe a Trey Benson creeps into that top 30. So let's look at some of the discrepancies. And again, I do work in a PPR environment, but for these purposes, I basically stripped out the PPR element, kept the receiving yards, of course. So it's just looking at rushing yards, rushing. Actually, you know what? It's kind of all or nothing. Do I strip it all away or do I go with a full PPR? That's hard to say. I actually don't know, you know, how much of a difference there is, honestly, between PPR and half point PPR. But we'll go through and just let's assume it's 3/4 point PPR to split the difference here. But just some observations initially here, looking at the projections. Christian McCaffrey, number one. I've got him at 1-2. Then we go Bijan Robinson. Bijan right there with the other elite, but I do have him down at 4 with 224 fantasy points. I feel pretty good about Bijan, but you know, we do have a new scheme, new coach, all that, some changes forthcoming. And, you know, he was good. He was good last year, but we did have that one missed game, which was a little weird. Moving on, the next guy is Breece Hall, who I have at 3. I have him at 2, so we're close there. Then we have Jahmyr Gibbs comes in at RB4. I have that at 7, close enough. Kyren Williams is 5. I have him at 6. That surprised me a little bit. Jonathan Taylor, here's probably the first little discrepancy. I mean, it's somewhat significant. RB6, I've got my man at 3 here. If we went PPR, by the way, he was also 3. So I'm definitely a little bit more bullish on Jonathan Taylor. Good O-line, good scheme. Everything's good if Anthony Richardson is in one piece and on the field. And also, if they add one more weapon here, I mean, Brock Bowers would be amazing, but I feel very good about a Jonathan Taylor bounce back. Saquon Barkley was next here at RB7. I've got him at 5. That's, you know, I'm not sure. I think it was a little lower in a full PPR because he's not getting 80 catches in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. Devon Achane was definitely the first real discrepancy. And this could be a problem because this is projecting. And, you know, I looked at what he was in terms of his touchdown percentage, and my man scored on 9.2 of his touches last year, did Devon Achane. If Christian McCaffrey rolled with that rate, for example, dude would have scored 31 touchdowns. He scored 21. Now, you know, again, that's the point of that's not sustainable, basically. When you have a higher total of touches, you're not sustaining that 9.2. And then on the other hand, too, Achane's not going to get all that much more in terms of the workload, at least in my opinion. So I have to say he's overvalued. Now, if he takes a high percentage of his touches to the crib like last year and busts off the big plays, then we'll be wrong. But I mean, I'm giving the man 795 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns on 150 carries, along with I'm giving him 11 touchdowns total and, you know, 1200 plus yards. But again, how many touches are we looking at here? I mean, we're not looking at over 200. We just can't, we just cannot do it. I believe, if you're Devon Achane, you got to minimize that workload just a little bit. Of course I was saying that and saying, well, I didn't think he would get this number of carries as he was on pace for early in the year. He had a 18 carry game, for example, in week number 3, of course, then he had 8 and 11, and then he missed 4 games. So my point was, well, they pushed it a little early and look what happened. He missed multiple injuries, missing time, but then, you know, they did give him the ball down the stretch, 14 carry game, a 17 carry game. Well, you know, we've got to keep this a little realistic. So I have him with, it's essentially 10 carries a game, maybe just a little over 10 carries a game. And I think that's very fair. But for those taking him that early at RB8, it's a bit much. It's before, granted, it is before, you know, we do have a drop off here, but you know, Travis Etienne is next at RB9. I've got him at 11 or 13. So we'll see what they do in the draft. That is a situation where they could draft a guy, or maybe they go back to Tank Bigsby. I think Josh Jacobs, I'm actually lower, but I still like him. He's RB10. I had him at 11. Derrick Henry is RB11. I had him at 9, believe it or not. A little more into Henry there. My guy, Rashad White, still people are disrespecting him. Still RB12. And I've got him at 8. James Cook, RB13. I've got him at 10. I'm not feeling it with the Bills making a big splash move at running back. Not to mention the fact that it's not a great class anyway. So I'd be shocked if they made a significant move there, although they should add to the backfield. Isaiah Pacheco was RB14. I had him at 17. The aforementioned Ken Walker looks like I'm doing it again. And the markets are, he was RB15. I still only have him at 21, baking in some time missed at this point, I think is fair. Let's see. I've got him missing 2 games again, just like last year. I mean, the numbers are very similar to last year. The thing about him was, while I came very close with the actual projections, all the numbers, the bottom line was he was impactful when he was out there, you know, and he was a needle mover. So that's the challenge of basically using projections to do rankings, because the projections have to be realistic. And when you have a Zach Charbonnet in the backfield, it's not realistic to project Ken Walker to get 300 plus carries, for example. But again, the guy is very talented, can do a lot with a little, and there is a lot to be said for needle movers. Aaron Jones is next at RB16. I actually came in a little light there at 21. Joe Mixon, RB17. I'm right there at RB16. Al Kamara takes a hit with a half a point PPR, RB19. The markets have him at RB18, so that's pretty close. Once again, it looks like David Montgomery is being not disrespected, but not getting much love. Ramondre, you know, on one hand, I can see the appeal of a little bit of a buy low, but bringing in Mr. Gibson, I think does hurt a little bit. Although it's only a half a point PPR, you know, the 3 down work for Ramondre, that was a nice little thing. And I think he'll get some targets on early downs, but clearly They didn't bring Antonio. They didn't sign Antonio Gibson and pay him decent money to be a runner because he stinks in that regard. His vision is not very good. So you got to get this guy, scheme him up, and get him in space. Then he can be dangerous. So he's going to be a receiving threat, and that's going to really hurt Ramondre Stevenson. Tony Pollard is obviously a tough call. RB21, I came in a little lower there at 28. James Conner, we'll see what they do in the draft. RB22, that's where I was. Najee, RB23, that's where I was. Eckler looks like a little overvalued here, especially in a half-point PPR. RB25, no way. Similar players, I think Jalen Warren is a little undervalued. RB26, actually, no, right around where I am. But I still think he's a little undervalued compared to Eckler in that they're going off the board around the same exact time. They're kind of the same guy, but Warren's just a much younger version who didn't look like he fell off a cliff last year, let's be honest. So we'll see if Mr. Eckler can regain the juice, all that he had before. Was he just coming back from the injury, or did the injury and the other residual effects of playing on his small frame, did it rob him of that juice that he had? We shall see about that. Raheem Mostert, believe it or not, I'm usually an ageist, but he came in at RB18, only RB28. And here is another value, and I know I've pumped this guy up in the past and it hasn't gone well, but I got to think Javonte Williams is a good pick right now at RB29. Think of it this way. Anybody with the gift of sight thought Javonte was a good player. Very good prospect. I've actually had conversations about Javonte Williams with my man LaDainian Tomlinson because I saw a little LT in Javonte, and LT agreed and loved him. And LT, and this is coming out of North Carolina, and LT is a running back savant, one of the smartest guys I've ever talked to. Him and Brian Westbrook, in terms of ever worked with those two dudes. But I bring up the heavy hitters when I have some concerns about a running back. LT gave a full thumbs up endorsement for Javonte when he came out. So we thought he was good then, and he was. Granted, last year didn't look good at all. And yeah, I know Sean Payton likes a dual backfield and all that. But Javonte was also, coming off that devastating knee injury. It was worse than Breece Hall's. It wasn't as bad as J.K. Dobbins, but it did feel a little rushed, and he did look a little sluggish. Now, the O-line there is not very good, and that's part of the problem. But Javonte is in the final year of his rookie deal. And when you really look at trying to anticipate headlines, I actually haven't heard a damn thing about Javonte Williams in the offseason, but would anyone be surprised if we get OTA notice, and more likely and more importantly, early training camp notice? Oh, Javonte Williams, he's back. He's moving like he moved in 2022 before the injury, or 2021, the rookie year. That I feel is likely to happen in the final year of his rookie deal, and they will need him. I know it's not a great situation overall as we sit here today, but I think Javonte at RB29 is a buy for yours truly. My guy Tajay Spears, I have at RB29. He's RB30. I still like him as a buy. We'll see about what DC does, but my big takeaway from going deep under the hood of all the teams was I could not believe how efficient the DC Commanders were running the ball. They were up there in a lot of metrics, yards before contact, yards per carry, things like that. Now, they did lose some players on the O-line. Zamir White, and we'll see about the Raiders. I did go ahead and do him, but he's looking like a small value there at RB32. I've got him at RB26. So there it is. Nothing earth shattering. I think we're looking quickly at Johnny Taylor as very nice targets. I mean, certainly we're into Breece Hall. I am like Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs. I like the big three in terms of young studs. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's still young, but not that young. But then the next tier for me in terms of appeal is in fact Johnny Taylor. Barkley, I feel pretty good about. I actually feel good about Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs. And I normally like to be cautious. I normally am cautious on older guys, but these guys, especially Jacobs and Barkley, are not that old. James Cook, a little hanging in the balance there. A little lukewarm on some of the veterans moving on to new teams, but I'm fine with Joe Mixon And I do actually kind of like Aaron Jones here. And Dave Montgomery, once again, looks like a little bit of a value. And we do have some guys that were, you know, we're certainly a little early on. We do have some teams that we need to take a look at. But yeah, that's a quick look at it. And again, nothing riveting. By the way, last year, I think probably the best thing I did with running backs was tell people not to take them early. I was all about wide receiver. I was into that one anchor running back. And early on, I've done a best ball draft, by the way. I like that strategy again. There is a dead zone early on in the ADP, like round three. There's like nothing there. So I do want to get, you know, as many high-end wide receivers as I possibly can. But I do think it's important this year to get that stud. And I actually think it's important if you're drafting at the top of round one. I'm very much looking to go running back there, believe it or not, even though I was so against it last year. I personally won't be taking Christian McCaffrey. But I would, in a heartbeat, take Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, or Jahmyr Gibbs. Toward the back end of round one, that's when Johnny Taylor comes into the equation. Certainly love the stud wideouts, and there's not many of them, but this is a tier right here. Bijan, Breece, and Gibbs. To me, after that, it falls off a cliff. These three are massively appealing in terms of youth, talent, versatility, durability, role. I mean, these are pristine guys here. So I would go RB at the top of round number one. That's another early takeaway here. My look at the running back position. I'll wrap it here and I'll get into the wide receivers. That will be a little more hit or miss because there will be probably more teams that I don't even mess around with. But certainly plenty of teams where like their receiving core wide out is good to go, not going to be affected dramatically by the NFL draft. So I'm going to go in on and do that. And again, I'm just setting it all up for when the draft comes in a few weeks. I'm ready to get in there and make the post-draft adjustments, and we'll be ready to publish them at fantasypoints.com. Speaking of the website, make sure you continue liking, subscribing, consuming the content. It's all happening at fantasypoints.com for sure. Fantasy Points data is taking over the world. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.